one, embraced AI and tried to improve their workflows and streamline their businesses, and they were successful, and the other one is still lagging behind. So I think the story is, who applied AI, who didn't?
Gold's up like 65% year to date. I mean, the S&P 500's been having a great year too, but that's only up 16%.
Right. So I think this year with alternatives, one thing I know is that they changed the dynamic, right?
On this episode of Early Bird, which stocks struggled in 2025? Why did some alternative investments have a good year? And what could happen in the stock market in 2026? Joining us today on the podcast to discuss these topics are Dan Passarelli, president at Market Taker Mentoring, Marcus Sturtevant, founder of the ABC Squared All Bases Covered, and Alex Carteau, CEO of EPSMomentum.com. If you're an investor looking to stay on top of the latest market trends, then you're listening to the right podcast. This is Early Bird, and I'm your host, Stephen Lerner. Before we get to today's discussion, let me tell you how you can save time and beat the market through Early Bird, a free daily email newsletter featuring commentary about the latest trends in stocks, cryptocurrency, and equity crowdfunding. Early Bird is designed to help individual and non-professional investors stay on top of all of the critical investing trends. The newsletter is 100% free and is sent to your email box each weekday morning. Subscribe to Early Bird for free at www.earlybird.email. Once again, that's earlybird.email. And now, today's discussion. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Early Bird podcast. The stock market was great in 2025, but there are still some stocks that did not perform so well. Alternatives were in the spotlight. And as we talk about that, let's also discuss where the stock market could head in 2026. To discuss all these topics, we put together a round table of experts. Dan, I'll start with you. Looking back at 2025, even though there were plenty of winners in the market, and we just talked about it on a previous episode, what are some of the big losing stocks and sectors in 2025 that you saw?
Well, partially because of just the Mag 7 and AI kind of just leading the charge and having the greatest influence on the market. I think that a lot of stocks that were not part of that, I mean, they didn't do so well. They didn't have to do so well for it to show up in the S&P 500 price movement. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, retail is one that kind of struggled somewhat this year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a big category. There's lots of retailers and some did great. But ones I'm thinking of are like Lululemon, CMG, and man, PayPal has been sort of a challenging stock to own, which is, I didn't own Lulu, I didn't own CMG, but I have owned PayPal throughout 2025, and why doesn't that darn thing rally? I think those three are the ones that I'm going to throw in there into the mix that, they've just been really, really tough because, retail's just sort of been out of favor.
Yeah, especially in a tariff world. It hasn't been good for retail. Certain retail stocks did well in Q4, interestingly enough, but you're right, Lululemon and the rest struggled throughout most of 2025. Alex, so we talked a little bit about some of these stocks and sectors that struggled, but what other losers that you remember back in 2025? I know that we mentioned a few here, but are there others that come to mind when you look back at the year?
Yeah, so following on what Dan just said, on the retail side, like Copart was one. The used car market was on oversupply. They dropped 33% this year. It's pretty major. But the interesting thing is to put this in perspective with Carvana. So Carvana showed up completely this year. Obviously, there's slightly different companies, right? But one embraced AI and tried to improve their workflows and streamline their businesses, and they were successful. And the other one is still lagging behind. So I think the story is, who applied AI, who didn't? And my next category to me is the technology softwares. So the softwares, the Teams, the ServiceNows, the Workdays, They kind of lagged a ton. So that's NOW team and WDAY for Workday. So these guys lagged. The reason is that maybe they didn't implement AI enough, or it doesn't show, it still doesn't show the efficiencies of that AI implementation. The one that is turning around is CRM, right? So Salesforce. Mm-hmm. Down big this year, but turning around in the last few weeks. Apparently the last call was pretty optimistic. So that's that to me is this, of course, consumer staples. It was still a big inflation year. So everything that's, basic consumer staples with very, very, very difficult pricing power. Inflation, high inflation is pretty bad for your business. Mm-hmm. Those are the big ones, I would say.
Yeah, Salesforce, it turned things around lately. It's embraced AI, to your point, Alex. In fact, that was an interesting point you brought up because Carvana is doing well. They've embraced their AI. CarMax and others have not done so well. They have not embraced AI the same way. So maybe it's not necessarily this sector hasn't performed well. It's if you break it down by those who are leading in transformation or those who are the laggards, maybe that's maybe one way to look at it. So it's a good way to see how that goes. Marcus, we talked a bit about some of the losing stocks and sectors in 2025. Are there any others you want to add, or what are some of the big losers you saw in the market this year?
Right. Yeah. So even adding on to what he was to what Alex just said, as far as like some of the service providers, you have to think about like Accenture had a rough year. So some of these providers are just kind of like the intermediary to the agents or training people on the agent struggle. But the really big sector that I remember we spoke about last year, people were like, drill, baby, drill. I was like, economically, it doesn't make sense. Oil was just took a bloodbath right last year. Natural gas, for some reason, is higher, right? That's gone up with crude oil, like that's down. I think last year we were saying, you know, these oil companies make money around $60 a barrel. It's below $60, it's been hovering around that area. So the oil companies have been down, but actually some of them are doing well. XOM, mm-hmm. CVX, so those are more diversified, some of the larger ones. So even the things we saw last year were that the larger caps performed well until the end of the year, where the small caps made a run. So oil, Oracle struggled a lot towards the end of the year just with the AI. The market seemed to move with Oracle. It had a good day in recent times with the TikTok information, but it really struggled with the CDSs that really raised questions about people in the financing side of it. Mm-hmm. And also we saw it in the streaming world. That seems to be topsy-turvy right now. Netflix was performing well. Netflix seemed to be a stock that was tariff-proof, right? Like, how are you going to impose tariffs on Netflix or on their content? And now, just here recently, there was a little turmoil inside that stock, and it's just going to be dead money probably for a while until they figure out what they're going to do with the regulatory parts of it with them, Paramount, and Warner Brothers Discovery, which may have another party by the time this is published.
Yeah, I know. That's a continuously changing story. And good points you brought up about some of those stocks, especially some of the oil stocks. Some have done well, like Exxon you brought up, but overall energy hasn't done totally good compared to the rest of the market this past year. So we talked a bit about stocks. We talked about the losers. There are winners across the stock market as well. Let's shift focus a bit and talk a bit about alternative investments. These are non-equities. These could be bonds. These could be commodities like gold or silver. These could be cryptocurrencies. There's alternative platforms out there with equity crowdfunding and real estate. Let's talk a little bit about alternatives. Marcus, I'll have you kick things off. Looking back in 2025, how did some of these alternatives impact the market? Is there anything in the alternatives that come to mind, Marcus, for 2025?
Right. So I think this year with alternatives, one thing I noticed is that they changed the dynamic, right? Yeah. They were introduced into conversation much more. A lot of people weren't even having a conversation about alternatives. They have increased visibility. We've seen a push from the White House to include them inside of private retirement accounts now. We see a lot of people looking for alternatives. They hear all these flash words. It's trendy on social media. People are talking about all these different things to solve alternatives. Some alternatives, you know, you can have different tools or products to protect some of your income. Maybe you have an annuity or an insurance product. People have alternatives they don't even realize inside their total portfolio. But just to go chasing all types of alternatives seems to be the it's become more of a trade than investment with alternatives almost. Mm-hmm. And the private credit side of it is very interesting. You've seen BlackRock and those companies grow. You've seen private credit come in. Some of them stepping back, like Blue Owl with the Oracle deal, with one of the data centers. So private credit has become front and center as its alternatives when I'm speaking in that area.
Yeah, it really has become a major force this year, private credit, especially now that it could be part of more portfolios for regular investors out there. So interesting to see how that has emerged. Dan, alternatives. How did alternatives impact the investing world in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's two that I would like to touch on. One that I talked a little bit on the last show is options, which again are contracts that enable the buyers to buy or sell a stock, depending on the type of option, call or put. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people sell the options short. It's much more common in the options world than it is in the stock world. And when a lot of people are short options, it's kind of a involved story as to exactly why this is, but it can lead, when we get a pretty big volatile move, we can get a much more outsized volatile move. And a lot of what we saw in April with the tariffs, I mean, certainly there was a lot of confusion and misunderstanding and people trying to figure out exactly what it all meant that pushed the market lower. But some of this short options activity contributed to that and just made it bigger than it otherwise would be. And the other thing I'd like to talk about is just gold. Gold's up like 65% year to date. I mean, the S&P 500 has been having a great year too, but that's only up 16%. And, it's just one of the things that people, I mean, they talk about it, but just kind of take it in stride. But, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. If the S&P 500 was up 65% this year, holy moly. I mean, it'd be some kind of party. But it's just an interesting part of the story that we've seen play out this year.
Yeah, gold broke out in a big way, and any gold-related stock probably did well, too, because of what happened with the gold price this past year. Alex, let's talk a little bit about alternatives. What are some of alternatives that you thought impacted the market back in 2025?
Yeah, again, so we talked a little bit about private equity and VCs. You know, they used to cover about 20% of the institutional allocation in 2024. Now it's 25. So it's a major increase, right? Just this year. So Marcus touched about it a little bit, but again, I'm going back to this commodity boom, crypto, and this new way of handling assets, handling money, handling real world assets, digitalization of things. I think this is where people would, and that touches everything. It could be a tokenization of a fund, tokenization of real estate, tokenization of gold, tokenization of whatever, right? And that to me is, it's not there yet. I mean, it's the beginning of it. It's the premise of it. But I think this is a major trend that is starting up right now. This year was the, I would think, the year of welcoming crypto to finance. It was embraced by, well, first, many, many ETFs, so Wall Street and major asset managers. And then second, Washington, right, with the stablecoin laws. And that through a real tectonic shift, and we talked about it. You know, the PayPals and the Squares, Block, and these guys who are more in the traditional payment finance, and now they have to adapt, right? So I would say this alternative this year, I would say gold, Bitcoin, crypto are major things that a little bit of a downturn right now, but if you don't have it in your portfolio, then I think you should think twice.
Yeah. 2025 was the year cryptocurrency got a seat at the finance table. Mm-hmm. Now it hasn't done well these past few months.
Nicely said.
Yes. And definitely speak to your financial advisor before making any big decisions. I always tell the audience. But these are all good alternatives that everyone has brought up today on the show. So 2025 was a pretty big year in the market. I want to hear, as we wrap things up, your big predictions for 2026 in the stock market. Alex, I'll start with you. What is your big prediction for the stock market in 2026?
All right, so I don't have a crystal ball, but what we do have at EPS Momentum is we have estimates revision. So we have estimates revision from analysts and going forward 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, right? So we take all those revisions and we see the stocks that have the highest revisions in estimates. Mm-hmm. And these stocks are the NVIDIA, the Micron, the Western Digital, the Teradyne in AI and semiconductor infrastructure. And the energy play, we have Philips, PSX, Valero, VLO, Halliburton, HAL, so energy and refining, that's going to be big next year. Biotech and pharma, still Eli Lilly is in play, and ARGX, Argenix, its sales are accelerating on this name. So those are big, big names. And then financials, you know, the Charles Schwab, Robinhood, CBOE, NASDAQ, SPGI, S&P Global. So I think these guys will do well. Rates will hopefully go down as well. More trading, more volatility. We talked about options. Well, CBOE is there to make money next year as well. So like every year. So yeah, these for me are the big again, no crystal ball, rely on analyst estimates going forward. These are the big names.
Yeah. Well, thank you for mentioning different stocks across different sectors for your prediction. Appreciate it. Marcus, what is your prediction for the stock market in 2026?
Right. Yeah. So like we've mentioned already, we're in the midst of a bull run. So we're coming into like the fourth year of this bull run. So I don't expect 25% growth or 17% growth. I do expect growth next year. I do think we'll be higher, maybe right around the double digits number. I don't know. I expect the Dow Jones to get close to 50,000 next year. Like the Dow Jones has been underrated this year. I don't think people have realized how the Dow's move. I know we're talking about stocks that haven't done great. Nike hasn't done great this year. It had its momentum, but it just can't seem to grab its own weight, kind of like UPS did. So those stocks look to recover in the first quarter or maybe the first half of next year. I look for the first half of next year to be a little tumultuous, kind of like this one was, but then it's to even out in the second half, because then you're going to have the one big beautiful bill stimulus kicking in. You're going to have the new Fed chair coming in to make moves with that. So I think with some of the turmoil in there, you know, whenever you have a new Fed chair coming in, Murphy's Law, something's going to happen. It's going to test that Fed chair. We'll see how they react to it. And then I also think housing comes back in a big way. So I think people are going to start buying their houses again. If the interest rates come down, the pricing and supply can all work out. It sounds like a whole lot of things going on. As far as individual stocks, if you want to play the streaming sector, I kind of like Disney. I think Disney's been in the penalty box long enough. There's time for them maybe to come back and make a move. Costco has also been punished a little bit here lately. So I like Costco from the consumer side. Consumer staples seem to be making a move. We'll go to a cyclical trade. As far as like if you want to play crypto, I know we were talking about crypto disclosures on that. There actually is a fund, STRD. It's a closed-end fund, but it's a preferred shares of the strategy. It pays like 10% dividend. The strategy just announced not too long ago they set aside like $1 billion to cover these dividends, right? So that's an option, because people will probably shift to more dividend stocks and look for those type of things. Another reason why the Dow would be another move. Those are usually dividend stocks and stronger companies. So I just look forward. I also think the international trade will continue to work. I think that's, you know, I think we're in a big trade cycle. Like Dan mentioned with gold. Gold didn't do anything for a long time, and then gold moved, right? And it moved big. So I think we're in a big rotation. I think I said last episode, we had up like 40%, 35% of the MAG 7. That's coming down 20%, maybe 25%. And it's just going to go into other areas.
Yeah, different properties you looked at, different options. It was interesting, good picks. That Fed chair appointment will be a big story for next year, and it'll definitely impact the markets, that's for sure. Dan, I'll have you close us out. Your stock market prediction for 2026? What is it?
All right. At the end of 2026, the S&P 500 will close at exactly. No. If somebody knows, tell me. I think more likely than not, we have a good year in the market, beating the average, you know, the 10% average that people talk about. Mainly, I mean, for a couple of reasons, just earnings overall. I mean, this year they've just been outperforming. And so if that trend continues, I mean, that just fundamentally drives prices, as does interest rates coming down, which, again, I think we already all have agreed that interest rates are likely to come down pretty significantly next year with the new Fed chair. Caveat there is that, you know, there's a lot of political stuff going on in the world. And if we end up having some, you know, military type conflicts, that could maybe put a damper on things. But, you know, being a trader, you have to think about these things that can go wrong, the black swans. Also, I think I see the big companies starting in AI, mm-hmm. starting to supplant the smaller ones. Some of these smaller companies that are just getting more and more laden with debt as they try and grow their AI business. I just think companies like Google and such are going to eat their lunch.
They already are, to a degree. It's a good point you brought up there, but yeah.
Yeah. And I guess I can throw one more in there too.
Sure.
I think somebody mentioned that on the last show. I think it might've been Alex. Prediction markets, or maybe it was Marcus. I forget who it was. But prediction markets, I think, are really going to become a very big thing. I mean, they kind of already are, but there's tons of room for them to grow. And some of the companies that are strange bedmates, like Robinhood and CBOE and CME, are very, very likely to be winners in that and benefit from it, as they don't just dip their toe in the water, but I think they're jumping in for a swim.
Thank you again to Dan Passarelli, Marcus Sturtevant, and Alex Carto for sharing your insights on stocks. And thank you to everyone for listening to today's discussion. We'll be back next week for another episode of Early Bird. Have a great day.